Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. February 8th, 2022, Tuesday. Spectacular day outside. Sort of gone through a rainy couple days. We've had snow. We've had high winds, blizzard warnings. And now it's like it never happened. There's no snow left. It's pretty nice outside, decent temperature. Definitely had a lot of rain for the last couple days. But we've made it. Everything is good. Haven't done the podcast for a few days. It's been a bit. Just not a lot going on. You know, typical daily stuff. But for the most part, everything's been going pretty smooth. Definitely coming into a tough time of year. I think for me, I think for a lot of people, which is your tax season, my tax season, the tax season. Just a lot of stress, exposes a lot of fucking character defects or shortcomings that I have. I would actually call them shortcomings more than I would call them character defects, but they're there and creates a lot of anxiety. The worst part is I know exactly why I'm uncomfortable. I know exactly what I need to do. And I never do it. I never do it. I mean, you know, as a small business owner, I remember when I first wanted to open a salon, and my buddy Matt was like, I'll give you some advice. I go, all right. He goes, get the best CPA you can find and get a payroll company. And I was like, oh, geez, you know, right away, I think, well, that sounds expensive. That sounds like a cost. And for a person like myself, I love to think that I can do certain things and avoid paying for certain things. Like, well, I could probably take care of my books, right? There's things out there, QuickBooks and different, you know, programs that you can use to manage your books and basically cut out some of these expenses like CPAs and payroll companies. But the fact is, when he told me that, I listened and I got a great CPA. And I got a great payroll company, and they're a local company. And this isn't about them, so I'll just keep them anonymous, of course. But those two things really have saved my ass. I can tell you that the CPA, I did not get the best CPA because, honestly, I couldn't really afford it. You know, I'm not a huge business. I'm not managing tons of employees. I'm not managing tons of retail. I'm just basically selling haircuts and renting spaces. So I was able to go down to the next couple tiers of CPA, but you know, a CPA is a CPA, and you know, they've been a huge help in at least my sort of success in my small business adventure. And the payroll company, and the funny thing is, there's only one person on payroll, which is me. So I send them my hours and my productivity, and then they write the check, and then I go pick up my paycheck, or actually have it deposited. And people are like, well, why do you need a payroll company if it's just you? Well, there's something I'm going to miss. And they do a huge job. And I'll give the same advice to anybody. In fact, there's somebody I know that is currently going through this process. And I told them, I said, listen, get a good CPA and get a payroll company. Basically, same situation. I think this person's going to open another small salon and have basically kind of do the same thing I think I'm doing here. And this person reached out and said, you know, what's the name of your CPA and what's the name of your payroll company, and is following my advice. And I don't believe that I'm always right, but I do believe on this one situation, I do believe I'm right. And if you are smart, starting a small business, definitely get a CPA and a payroll company. And, you know, I could tell you there's been a couple situations over the years that, you know, it has benefited me. I've been, you know, when we started this pandemic, when the pandemic started, they did this PPP, which is short for Payroll Protection Program. And one of the things that you had to do was show basically a history of the money that you make, whether it's a month, a week, every 2 weeks. And then the government, based on those numbers, gave you payroll protection. So being as I was the only employee, I just gave them, or I called my payroll company and I called my CPA. They were able to put everything together. They already had it basically documented, got it all together, turned it in, and I was able to get some payroll protection. I only got $3,500 over the course of 3 months. But you know what? It helped. You know, it helped. I don't know if I'd had all that information. And if I hadn't, I don't know. It would have been very stressful, I think, trying to figure it out. And it seems like I revert back to being like 15 when I basically called my dad for everything. Help. Well, I hired someone to be my dad, pretty much. And, you know, it was a big deal and it was very helpful. And it turns out they were definitely worth the money. And payroll company is based on how much payroll. So I don't really pay them a lot. You know, it's enough, but you know, it's not going to sink the ship for sure. And then I've had a couple other situations. I had one of the things about the business that I do is I do chair rentals. So I don't have any employees. So we have the unemployment department, the labor department, and they audited me. They audited me, and because they're like, how come you don't have any employees? And how come you're not paying any unemployment insurance or whatever it is? You have to pay basically a percentage of your income. And every time someone files an unemployment against you or something like that, you know, that rate can go up. And my rate has never gone up because no one's ever filed unemployment because I've never had to fire anybody, or, you know, one person did quit, but they quit. It wasn't a big deal. So when they decided to audit me, you know, that would have been that was a scary situation. And I basically called my unemployment or my payroll company and my CPA. They got everything together. And I basically went through an audit scot-free. And believe me, they went through everything. They went through my personal accounts, the salon accounts, everything. And, you know, I think due to the fact that I have a payroll company and a CPA that keep everything in order, when something like that comes up, they have everything ready. I went through the audit. Everything was great. The lady texted me, or a lady called me, and she said, you know, everything's fine. Good job. Thank you, CPA and payroll company, once again. And so one of the things that I'm having to go through right now is that one of the challenges that I've had over the last 12 years is that my CPA was over in a different town, a different state. And unfortunately, I'm not great at keeping documents. I'm not great at providing documents. And a little bit of stuff was getting lost in translation between me and my CPA over in the different state. And I felt like I was starting to become kind of a pain in this guy's ass, really. You know, he'd ask for certain things. I'd forget to send them. It was me, you know. Shortcomings. This isn't about my character. This is about being lazy and procrastinating, which I find is shortcomings. So I'm going, now I've decided to basically give all my CPA work to the payroll company, which provides both. I'm consolidating. This year really has been about consolidation of a lot of stuff. I paid off a lot of credit cards. I had paid off two credit cards that I had started when I had worked on a different project a few years back. And you know, with the intent of only spending a certain amount of money Of course, it goes higher and higher, and next thing you know, you've got quite a bit of debt. So I really focused on getting some of that stuff paid off, which I did. And I hired another lady to do my QuickBooks because the CPA will do that, but at a fee. And I've been able to, you know, work with this lady. We do some advertising for one of another podcast and, you know, a little bit of bartering and compensate with a little bit of cash. And we've been able to work it out. But we had a meeting the other day and she, you know, let me know how many places I'm falling short. And, you know, but sometimes that's an uncomfortable conversation because it really, you know, because on my mind, I'm doing really well, right? And the reality is there are some areas in my life that I need to do a little bit better. And so we had a great meeting with, I had a great meeting with her, and she just let me know, these are some things you need to work on. And when I'm given a task, I love it. And I've been, in 2 days now, I've had to do some deposits. And one of my big challenges is I tend to deposit everything and I don't break it down for her so she doesn't know what goes where. And so I'm just really focusing on some of my shortcomings. And it's been good. But I still have the, what's it called? This is the business client, end of year business client letter, but basically it's kind of a packet of a list of things that I need to have so that we can start my taxes. And here comes the anxiety, right? Because this is a lot of, you know, copies of new bank loans and copies of new leases. A lot of this stuff doesn't really apply to me, good thing. But the reality is that I turn something like this into 10 times worse. And it's all around procrastination. And, you know, I shared before, my buddy Matt used to say, listen, you know, I think this happens with a lot of people that struggle with addiction or alcoholism or whatever it is. I know it did. It was for me. You know, I love to push the bad away. I figured, hey, listen, if I can't see it, it ain't happening. You know, that was one of the things that used to wear on me when I was deep into my drinking and using is, you know, I don't know when, I don't know where, but something's going to happen. It's inevitable. You know, history shows that I can skirt and shuck around some of these, you know, situations, but eventually I'm either going to get a DUI, I'm eventually going to get thrown out, I'm eventually going to get in a fight, something. I'm going to break something, wreck something. And so I love to just push things aside. And this is the same thing with my sober life. And I remember Matt said, listen, you know, every day go down to the mailbox, check the mail. If you have a bill, pay it right away and put it back in the mailbox because unchecked, unattended, those things tend to grow into way more than they are. And example of that was just this meeting I had with my QuickBooks lady. And she, you know, I knew, you know, we had set some stuff up. You know, I put QuickBooks on my phone, and I was able to take pictures of stuff, but I wasn't exactly sure where it was going. I knew I was trying, but I knew it was still a mess. And I knew that I was going to have this meeting. And, you know, the fear that I had is that she was going to say, listen, you're too much of a mess, and it's not worth it to me to help you. I mean, that's usually, you know, that's always a fear I have. Yeah, you've ditched too much school. We're going to have to fucking kick you out. Yeah, you've used pot or used drugs again, and you're now grounded. It was always this impending doom, and I kind of had that with my QuickBooks lady. And I was like, it's going to be bad. She's going to fire me. And it was really, I was carrying around a lot of anxiety, and I wasn't using a lot of the tools that I know that I have, like praying and turning it over, making a phone call. And luckily we met, and, you know, it was close to that. You know, she was like, you know, I have to figure out how to do this better, because if we don't, this isn't really going to work. It's becoming too much. This is a person who's retired, and she's just doing some of this stuff on the side. So we had the talk, and it reminded me of being like 15. You know, I've been issued my list of things I need to do better, and, you know, the challenge is to continue doing it. And but I think we finally got some stuff in place, and I think it's going to go good. But that's kind of what I'm going through. You know, that financial insecurity is still an issue with me. It is a promise that has not come true. I've gotten better at it. Procrastinating, I've gotten better at that. But honestly, that procrastination is really still a struggle for me. And through this pandemic, I've really lost a lot of my desire to do stuff, take on the day. I feel like I'm pushing things back farther and farther. And eventually, especially like a tax season, when you have that date, right, April 15th, there is no, at some point, it all just kind of crunches up into the end. There's no pushing it past that. I guess you could get an extension, but oh my God, can you imagine extending that anxiety even further? But I'm not going to do that. Taking it on, people. I'm going to solve these problems, and I'm getting better. Luckily, I do have a pretty simple life. It's not that complicated. But yeah, so that's kind of what's been going on. I'm struggling a little bit with anxiety. I have not been praying about it, even though I know that that works. You know, I've been procrastinating on that too. So hopefully we'll start getting through some of this stuff. But like I said, I did go to the meeting last night, and it was excellent. But I felt a little like out of place. It was only my fourth time going to that meeting. Starting to feel like I'm fitting in. Luckily, went last night, they were not requiring people to wear masks. I don't know where you're at, but I know for our area, they're talking about mask mandates ending on the 31st of this month. No, wait a minute. Take that back. I think it's the 11th of this month for adult mask mandates. And they're actually saying that it may be the 31st of March, but they're going to end the mask mandates for the kids. And I'm like, ooh, shoo. Because the kids, for some reason, that one has really bugged me. Some days I am absolutely still the same, and it's unfortunate because I've put a lot of work into facets of my life. I've fixed a lot of stuff. I've addressed a lot of stuff, but there are areas where, unfortunately, I am just still the same, and procrastination is one of them, and it's unfortunate, and especially when I know better. And, you know, early on in my recovery, it was suggested to me by a guy that I really had a lot of respect for that, you know, these are some of the things that will eventually pop up if they're not already an issue. And procrastination was one of them. And not only the procrastination, but living in the anxiety on the other side of it. You know, procrastinate and then recreate all this other drama in my head. What's going to end up happening when, if I hadn't procrastinated in the first place, I would have would have removed that opportunity. So, you know, working on that is still a thing. Still a thing. Still. It is. I don't know why. I don't know why it's an issue, but whatever. So, like I said, I went to the meeting last night. It was great. Felt a little out of place. I don't know. Felt a little new. One of the things that I'm finding out, or I'm hearing a lot about in meetings now, is that a lot of people really struggled through this pandemic, through these the Zoom meetings. And I was sitting next to a gentleman last night who was telling me that he had gotten sober, and then the pandemic had hit, and he was doing Zoom, and then just decided to start drinking again. And there was a couple people last night that, you know, had mentioned that was an issue for them. And I can't imagine. I just cannot imagine. So I'm glad that we're starting to open back up. And, you know, this guy, you know, shared last night he had 5 days. And you know, I could see the anxiety and the pain. And I could see, you know, he was dressed nice. And he was, you know, I just thought about how, you know, this is it. You know, I've been struggling, and I just need to get back to a meeting. And I could see that in his face, and I'm just so happy he was there. And I was happy definitely that I was there. You know, I'm trying to get back into this routine of these meetings, and I didn't go Friday. It was my wife and I's anniversary. Probably not a great excuse, but yeah. I couldn't skip her going out with my wife for her anniversary. She wouldn't really have had that. So luckily I've got enough time right now. I hope that it was fine, but I definitely got to the meeting last night. And I just wanted to talk about, you know, the topic was the second step. You know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And, it's such a big deal. And I wanted to share on it last night. But I really didn't know how to. I really didn't know how I could say. I felt like I was getting caught up in that profound kind of space where I just want to save the room. And I felt like I was overanalyzing it and wanting to describe how important it was and the miracle that takes place when that starts to happen. And then I started to try to define insanity, and it was just, I just got in my head about it. And I'm like, you know, you're not keeping this very simple. You, self showed up, you know, and wanted to fluff it up a bit. And, but you know, the reality is that for me, the second step really came from me going to a ton of meetings. You know, it's hard to have a relationship with God, you know, and I've shared before the relationship that I had with God was one of, that was comparable to maybe like Santa, you know, what can you give me, God? What can you fix? Fix this. I won't do it again. Fix this. I won't do it again. God, help me, give me this, give me that. And just understanding how screwy that relationship is would be the beginning. I needed to unwind a relationship with the higher power that I thought I had, and start to just find some humility, you know. And humility is meetings. It's the first step, for me at least, is to, you know, like last night, you know, I didn't particularly want to go. I think that was part of my situation. I was hanging out. We'd had dinner. I didn't want to go to a meeting. I was comfortable. And, you know, but it was important. And just like usual, I went, and afterwards I felt a ton better. And it's that balance between self and humility and starting to understand that relationship and starting to understand the relationship that I had currently basically given up on was the relationship with a God, because basically none of the stuff that I asked for showed up. And I'm like, well, if I'm not going to get these things fixed or these things given to me, then what's the point? And I had no faith, had no hope. And so just trying to unwind that relationship was really, it needed to happen way before I was going to be able to understand how a higher power could restore me from sanity, restore my sanity. And the other thing was, I was thinking, was I insane? You know, I know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over expecting different results. The insanity really didn't start until I got sober. If that doesn't sound too crazy. You know, doing some of my old behavior while trying to be sober seemed insane. It was crazy. I didn't find myself insane. I just found myself having, you know, I've said before, I wasn't really, I had talked about getting sober. I had thought about getting sober. But I didn't really want to get sober. I wanted to be drunk, but I didn't want the bad things that came along with it. So, yeah, trying to figure that out was a whole nother thing too. So, but you know, understanding, you know, that I could pray about things, that I could recognize things, understanding that I have a side of me that is, I call self, which is kind of like the devil, I would suppose, if I was going to compare it to something. And then I have a side of me, which is a more humble side. And I would call that more of a spiritual or God side. And understanding that separation for me, I didn't really realize that I had that going on. So I guess my point was is that it all started with meetings. Showing up to meetings, watching other men be examples to me of how to act. And in the beginning, it was an act. You know, how you doing? Good to see you. Nice. How's everything? When personally, I probably didn't care, right? Because I was so consumed with what I wanted. But just doing that every day and understanding, you know, that I'm starting to change and what are these feelings and you know, it's an awesome process. And the fun thing about it is that I can really restart pretty much any time. And that's kind of what last night was, is that, you know, I felt like I was a newcomer. I felt uncomfortable. I didn't really feel like I fit in. It is a new meeting to me, so I didn't really know many people. I did see a person at the meeting that I knew. I tried to wave to him, and it was one of those moments where my hand was up, and they didn't really see me, so they didn't wave back. And then I was like, did everybody just see me wave to somebody that didn't wave back? You know, I started feeling like this outcast. And that's just self. Self is brutal. And I just put my hand down and just kind of sat and listened and took it all in and just realized how many people had been struggling. And, you know, the person that shared had a great story. This person had talked about, you know, the tragedies that had happened in her life. And it was a great meeting. But it wasn't a great meeting for self, because self wanted to share. Self wanted to be profound. Self wanted to save the room, and it wasn't happening. That was a meeting I needed to sit there, shut my mouth, and open up my ears and listen, and make sure I got the message. And I did, and it was great. Let me see if I can do a... I haven't done it in a while. Let's see if we can do a daily reflections, and then get out of here. I need to get back into doing this podcast. Yeah, I just need to stop thinking about it, which I always do. Drive myself crazy. All right, here we go. Convincing Mr. Hyde. All right, so today is... Today is February the 8th, like I said. Convincing Mr. Hyde. Even then, as we hew away, peace and joy may still elude us. That's the place so many of us AAs, oldsters, have come to. And it's a hell of a spot, literally. How shall our unconscious, from which so many of our fears, compulsions, and phony aspirations still stream, be brought into line with what we actually believe, know, and want? How to convince our dumb, raging, and hidden Mr. Hyde becomes our main task. The Language of the Heart, page 237. Regular attendance at meetings, serving and helping others in the receipt that many have tried and found to be successful. Whenever I stray from these basic principles, my old habits resurface, and my old self also comes back with its fears and defects. The ultimate goal of each AA member is permanent sobriety achieved one day at a time. Mm. Yeah, you know, I'm always shocked when I read these things, and it's relevant to kind of what I'm going through, because what I'm reading here is that it doesn't really matter how many years, how many coins that I have. That shit is still there. Mr. Hyde is still there. And Mr. Hyde was kind of, he's been showing himself in this, preparing for this tax season. And Mr. Hyde was preparing to show himself at that meeting last night. And, it never goes away. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. And that's always going to be the issue. And, the sooner I recognize that, the sooner I have a chance of getting better. Hey, have a great day. Thanks for letting me share. Bye.